Welcome to this week's edition of Radioactive Magazine on KKFI 90.1 FM, Kansas City Community Radio, with this week's host, Dave Mitchell. The living myth of widespread voter fraud in the November 2020 presidential election has been embraced by tens of millions of mostly Republican voters. There is a great deal of collective power behind this living myth, creating profound schisms in our society, leading to Republican passage of a wide variety of voter restriction bills across the U.S. in 2021. In 2022, Republican legislatures continue to engage in these dynamics, driven by fear, paranoia, and disinformation. The deep-seated tragedy is all this has no basis in reality, but profound wounds to our society are happening nonetheless. In June 2020, the Brookings Institution published an article, "Low Rates of Fraud in Vote-by-Mail States Show the Benefits Outweigh the Risk." They cited Heritage Foundation data, a conservative think tank, that in Colorado from 2005 to 2018, there were only 14 fraud incidents in almost 16 million votes cast, mail-in votes. In Oregon, with mail-in voting since 1998, there were only 14 fraud incidents and over 15 million votes cast. As we all know, the Trump administration failed in over 60 court cases litigating the election. The Cybersecurity Infrastructure and Security Agency, with lifelong Republican and Trump appointee Chris Krebs as director, pronounced the November 2020 election as the most secure in U.S. history. Former Attorney General Bill Barr, a very strong Trump loyalist, denied any widespread fraud in the November 2020 election. In January 2022, Senator Mike Rounds, Republican of South Dakota, citing his investigation of 60 reports of fraud in multiple states, stated to NBC's This Week, the 2020 election was as fair as we have seen, and the former president lost the 2020 election. Following immediate attacks by former President Trump, Mitch McConnell, lifelong Republican and Senate minority leader, told CNN, quote, "I think Senator Rounds told the truth about what happened in the 2020 election, and, quote, I agree with him." These statements by Senator Rounds and Senator McConnell are highly encouraging, but the struggle to heal the myth of widespread voter fraud and all of its negative consequences will be years long and difficult. The Kansas legislature has not been immune from the national dynamics plaguing us all, and we have as our guest, Seal Kang, advocacy chair for the League of Women Voters and former co-chair of the League of Women Voters in Kansas. We will discuss with her some of the bills being passed or proposed in 2021 and 2022 in the Kansas legislature. Seal, we deeply appreciate you joining us on Radioactive Magazine, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Really pleased that you could join us today. Let's get to, I want to talk about Chris Kobach a little bit before we talk about legislation currently. Chris Kobach, whose name will forever be linked with the belief in widespread voter fraud, prosecuted just 15 cases of voter fraud during his 8 years as a former Secretary of State for Kansas. Of the 14 cases concluded during his tenure, most involved voters casting ballots in Kansas and another state, and only two were non-citizens. Of these 14, one case was dropped against a wife whose husband had voted in Kansas and Arkansas, won a no-contest plea with no intention to violate the law. What comments would you like to make regarding this?
Thank you for the question. Our former Secretary of State was the only Secretary of State in the nation that acquired prosecutorial powers as Secretary of State for voter fraud. And as you mentioned in your list that you read that was documented, he wasn't very successful in finding the hundreds or hundreds of thousands of voter fraud cases that he thought might be taking place in Kansas. He failed in a lawsuit to promote his voter fraud information. Mm-hmm. He failed in the U.S. courts in his role as the former president's voter fraud commission. And he wasn't able to find anything that substantially validated his suggestions of deep spread or widespread voter fraud. Our voting systems are secure. Applicants provide driver's license numbers or the last four digits of their social security number when applying. They're required to provide their photo ID when requesting an advanced mail ballot or voting in person. Voters are checked against the voter rolls. All ballots, machine counts have to be accounted for. All poll workers are trained to know when a voter needs to do a provisional ballot. Machines are audited and secured, and members of both parties are at both polling places, and signatures are required throughout the system. But we are all human, and errors are made, hopefully caught and corrected, and they usually end up to be minor errors.
Well, so the message is clear, you know, that there are obviously going to be mistakes here and there, and, you know, probably most of them unintentional, and there is no widespread voter fraud in Kansas or anywhere else is the conclusion that that you have to come to.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the bills in the Kansas legislature. I know that when you and I had a prior conversation before the taping of this interview, you indicated that the Kansas legislature had passed a law effective July 1st, 2021, making it a felony to register someone to vote if that person thought the person assisting them was an election official. And, you know, this law appears to be a clear voter suppression tactic. And was this law aimed at the legal women voters? And what effect has, and regardless of whether or not it was aimed at the league, what effect has it had on the league and in its Kansas voter registration activities?
Well, it's probably aimed at all organizations that register voters. So whether it's political parties or the league or any of the other nonprofit organizations that provide voter registration services. Our state league, with the advice of our attorneys, did ask all local leagues to stop in-person voter registration on July 1st last year when this bill became law.
So definitely a voter suppression effect.
Right. The last year that we had data for our registration activities was 2018, pre-COVID, where the Kansas local leagues had nearly 700 volunteers register over 5,300 voters and assisted nearly 550 voter registration updates or advanced ballot applications. Local leagues are often, our members are often thanked by election officials in the county because they don't have the funds to provide staff to be at all these different locations where the league might go, whether it's naturalization ceremonies or county fairs or any other place that there are a lot of people, and particularly people who might want to be registered to vote. And the league members are often also poll workers and assist with clearing ballot boxes and a number of other activities.
So was this law passed with the intent of trying to suppress Democratic votes or not, in your view?
Well, there is some data to suggest that more Democrats use mailed ballots. That's not always been the case. You know, we've had mailed ballots for decades. And of course, military and people overseas have to use mailed ballots. Mm-hmm. We have students that are out of state or military who are Kansans who are out of state who want to vote by mail. They have to use mailed ballots. excuse me. But with COVID, mail ballots became particularly popular. And so even though with the previous president's assertion that mail ballots were not safe, we think there were probably fewer Republicans using mail ballots than there were Democrats. But we aren't sure. We do know, we have some numbers that said that between Johnson County and Sedgwick County, there were over 8,000 ballots delivered to ballot boxes in the 2020 election, just in those two counties alone. So back to the lawsuit, though. The lawsuit was filed in Shawnee County District Court. We haven't been given a court date yet. There are four organizations that are part of this lawsuit, and that's League of Women Voters, Loud Light, Kansas Appleseed, and the Topeka Independent Living Resource Center.
So yeah, the lawsuit is you're filing to the assertion is from the League of Women Voters point of view, and the other allied organizations is that this law is unconstitutional. Is that the basis of the lawsuit?
Right.
Because it's basically criminalized, you know, it's based on sort of the very it's based on the fact that the person that is registering to vote thinks that the person assisting them might be an election official, or that it's their perception that they're an election official. So it seems like a real trap.
Right. There are actually four parts to the lawsuit. So it was not only the fact that they changed if somebody thought you were an election official, making it into a felony. We're also contesting the new signature requirements because they're too vague. We're asking about the limit on 10 ballots that any person can carry for another person. Anyway, we've had League members go into nursing homes and help assist nursing homes with getting or making sure that those ballots get to the county election official. So in 2020, here in my county, one person, and he had to sign every envelope saying who he was, sign his name, that he was assisting getting that ballot to the county election official or a mailbox. Mm-hmm. And he alone did 70 from nursing homes and retirement homes in my city. So that would be stopped. And that's one of the challenges we have in this lawsuit. And there was also part of this was the feature that prohibited applications for mail ballot to be sent to Kansas residents from an out-of-state address. We think that's probably unconstitutional under the commerce laws. Mm-hmm. So as those four features, we have four groups in the lawsuit. We don't have any court dates yet. It was filed in the Shawnee County District Court in Kansas.
So do you have any idea as to timeline on that, or just none at all?
Not at all.
No. Okay. Well, it definitely will bear watching. You know, that just seemed like to me, it seemed just like a very clear effort at voter suppression. Just that's the way it impressed me when I read it. So,
right. The judge did say that, well, the law or the statute says you have to be knowingly impersonating an election official. But the language is such that it can be any one of those things. You can knowingly be impersonating an election official, or somebody else could think that you are impersonating an election official.
Okay.
Those are both fraud, and they don't have to be linked according to the way the statute reads.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a real mess, actually, in trial. let's move on to our next question. The regarding Kansas House Bill 2555, this proposed bill indicates that a registrant may be removed from the registration list if, and I quote, the change of address information supplied by the National Change of Address Program identifies a registrant whose address may have changed. Does this section open the door for cross-check, the database system from the past that was demonstrated to be so profoundly flawed as to be essentially useless? And if not, what is this section referring to?
Well, cross-check was originally created by four states. I think it was Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Missouri. And the Secretary of State at that time just wanted to make sure that they were clearing the voter rolls when people would move from one of our states to the adjacent state. I could be wrong on the four states. But under our previous Secretary of State, he expanded it so that I think at one point there were 25 states participating in this program to send in all their voter registration logs. And the problem was with cross-check is that there was no, they were checking first and last names, not always even birthdays. They weren't checking driver's license numbers or social security numbers or anything else. And they would often come up with dozens or maybe even hundreds of the same first and last name in multiple states.
Mm-hmm. And well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We know that there are like 53,000 Garcias or Johnsons in the United States. So obviously you're going to have a lot of overlap on some common names.
I'm sorry. I was just going to riff on, out of 25 states, how many David Mitchells are there, and there have to be thousands probably. So just without the middle name, even with the middle name, you might come up with, a few of the same, but, just as, obviously lacks any real validity when you get up to, just to check the first and last name, it pretty much negates any validity on the data search to begin with.
Right. Cross-check hasn't been used for a number of years, and it probably won't be used again because of all the false positives and lack of security. Back to the National Change of Address Program, though. It's a service where somebody who's moving fills out a form to provide a new address for mail delivery, signs the form, and turns it into the post office. The post office then sends it on to the county election office where the voter's registration is canceled. We would like to see where the voter's information is forwarded on to the next county election office where the voter can be registered at that new address. This new address or this new registration isn't done now, and most people don't realize that they are no longer registered in Kansas when they move and fill out that voter change of address card.
So if they move within Kansas, they don't realize that their registration has been canceled.
If they move out of county and can't, but within Kansas even, their registration is canceled.
So what was the intent? What was the intent of this particular bill? That phrase that I read about, just really raised, what was the intent of the bill?
I'm not sure. I don't know
was the rationale for them proposing that to begin with?
I think this bill has not been heard yet. I think it's one of the ones up for hearing this coming week, I believe, 2555. So if I remember right, it has not been heard yet.
Okay. Well, let's move on to our next question. You know, I think we're getting a little bit short on time here. Kansas House Bill 2486, whose short title is Providing for the Use of Electronic Poll Books in Elections. Can you talk about its prohibition of electronic voting systems and polling books being connected to the internet, as well as the criminalizing of the fraudulent use of poll books?
Well, on a more careful reading of this House Bill 2486, and this is another one up for hearing this coming week, it appears that it still allows electronic polling books to be connected to the internet with that's before elections on early voting, if that system has been cleared and certified by the Kansas Secretary of State. It does prohibit voting systems from being connected to the internet, and the league fully agrees that voting systems should not be connected to the internet.
Well, and you know, so basically it's just during early voting that polling books are allowed to be connected to the internet, but not otherwise. Is that correct?
That is what has been happening, but now they will certify the systems for that to happen.
I see.
And
but yeah, so there were all sorts of questions from this last election about systems being connected to the internet, and you know, just I think we both worked polling places, and you know, voting counting machines are not connected to the internet, and neither are poll books on election day. So,
right, and even on those early voting days, where you might have a poll book that's connected so that they can see what other early polling places are doing, so okay, the voter isn't voting twice, those still are not connected to the voting systems. They're only connected to each other.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know. What resources for our listeners, what resources would you recommend for people to become involved in advocacy with the Kansas legislature? What would you recommend?
Oh, there are dozens of organizations that monitor the legislature. Kansas Rural Center, Mainstream Coalition, Loud Light, the NAACP, Climate and Energy Project, ACLU, Kansas Fair Maps, Kansas Association of School Boards, Alliance for a Healthy Kansas, Chambers of Commerce, political parties. And you can always contact your elected representative or senator to find out what's happening in the legislature, and to express your views on any bills that are coming up. And of course, the League of Women Voters. And most of us have websites or Facebook pages where we post information or events or action alerts if we think a bill is not or needs constituent input. Okay. So any of those.
Okay, well, and I think also you can just Google the Kansas legislature and check on the hearing schedule for the House and the Senate and the bills they're considering. And so
right,
things that way.
Yeah, kslegislature.org is the website, and it has all the bills.
Yeah, say that again. I'm sorry.
kslegislature.org.
Okay, all right. Okay, so that's kansaslegislature.org for everyone out there who might have an interest. Seal, I'm afraid we've run out of time. You know, thank you so much for being on Radioactive Magazine today.